This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour on this Christmas morning. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. They are open for business early today here on the holiday. Kind of love that. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Love what our crew has done back in Vegas here. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, yeah, we got the Christmas lights up here in studio. Absolutely fantastic. We do appreciate everybody. Just got a nice tweet from Buddy who said, appreciate you guys broadcasting on this glorious holiday. Buddy, we appreciate you watching and listening to everybody out there in the country. We appreciate you making us part of your Christmas morning. Greg Hoops Peterson is going to join us here a little bit later on in this hour as well. Greg, kind enough to join us on Christmas Day to talk about college basketball, some futures out there here on December 25th that maybe are still playable numbers for you. And of course, we're going to get to our naughty and nice list. Can't wait to see what's on your list. And I'll give you my thoughts as well. But right now, let's get to it. Three games on Christmas Day in the NFL. Our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Early game in the nation's capital, the DMV area, for the Commanders against the Cowboys. I wonder what it's going to be like, because Jensen, this game, especially in that neck of the woods, for so long is the game, right? It's, you know, it's not Ohio State, Michigan in college football, but for so long, this is the game. And now it's Josh Johnson, third string quarterback, going for Dan Quinn. A lost season here for the Commanders. Cowboys, even with this great resurgence in the second half, now they've lost three in a row, and they've been mathematically eliminated from postseason contention. But you do have a first-year guy in Brian Schottenheimer, and Dak Prescott's still going to be the starting quarterback here. Numbers up to 9, totals up to 51. What can we really expect from two non-playoff teams, even though they still don't like each other?
Yeah, I think we're going to get points. I think we get a track meet. And I feel like we're also potentially in that position to look at some defensive anytime touchdowns with all these backup quarterbacks. Dave, I just happened to be scrolling here, and a great friend of the show, Josh Ingles, who joined us a lot during baseball season, he's got a very intriguing three-leg parlay. Can I interest you? Okay. Oh. We have Josh Johnson. We have Max Brosmer. We have Chris Oladokun. A three-leg defensive anytime touchdown of the Cowboys, the Lions, the Broncos is 233-1. Now, again, if you have a little Christmas cash laying around, $50 on that parlay is going to make you over 11 grand. So, I mean, it's possible. Josh,
he does great. Yeah. And he does great work in covers, and we love having him here on the program with us. As you mentioned, does that have to be that team specific? Can it be anybody? Could it be Dak that throws a pick six? Could it be Bo Nix? Or does it have to be those three that throw the pick six, or just any game?
So the Dallas defense doesn't, it could be a scoop and score.
Okay. Got it.
It could be a pick six. Okay. But it has to be specifically the Cowboys defense, the Lions defense, the Broncos defense. $50 on DraftKings at 233-1 pays you $11,650.
You know, I actually like two of the three legs. I think the leg I don't like is the middle leg, and that would be Minnesota and Detroit, that you got to get one against Max Brosmer. It's not so much that I don't think Brosmer will put one in harm's way. It's just, is this Detroit defense good enough to go? Like, Deron Bland, I can see him with a pick six today for Dallas against Josh Johnson. I can see that. I don't know that I can see this here for the Lions in a quote-unquote must win. Oh, yes, it is a must win, so you can take out the quotes, but I don't want to say that there's Sean Penn dead man walking, but you do get the feeling that they know, unless they get a lot of help here in the form of the Ravens, 3.5-point dogs against the Packers, and then this Viking team would then have to beat Green Bay next week. I mean, Jensen, it's a lot to ask to say that the Lions have any hopes of still making the playoffs, but they got to take care of their own business. You would think they should be able to do that today, at least with their offense intact here, but it has not gone well here for the Lions. And finally, that Christmas tree, it finally went double red last week for the first time, where they broke that string of win-loss. They lost two in a row. You don't think Dan Campbell and company would lose three in a row, do you?
No, I don't think so. And again, that got me to a teaser here with the Lions. So depending on where you're at, shop around. I know our friends and listeners down in Florida watching on FanDuel Sports Network, Dave, Hard Rock actually had yesterday the Lions still at 7. So I played a 6-point teaser with the Cowboys -2 and the Lions down to -1. So I think you and I very much feel that the Vikings are live to keep this thing close through four quarters. So I don't really want anything to do with the Lions laying that amount. And as I said, for people just joining us, if you saw what just happened in the Motor City when the Lions were laying upwards of 7.5, 8 points against the Steelers, what in the heck is getting you to the window for them to lay the same number on the road against a divisional opponent second time around? Yes, Max Brosmer is a backup quarterback, but you're getting his very best effort. That Vikings defense is playing very well. So I, in good conscience, could not get there with the Lions laying all those points.
Yeah, and if there's certain coaches out there, and again, we're not going to call out ones that we think might lay down a little bit. Brian Flores is not going to do that with his defense. There's no doubt about that. Dan Campbell's not going to do that on his offense. I will say this, too, about Dan, and I really like what he's done there in Detroit in building this culture. Since he took over the play-calling duties here, Jensen, they're 2-5. I mean, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and go, maybe that wasn't the best decision to take the play-calling away. But that's what he's done. And since then, the results, whether that's correlated or not, 2-5 since Campbell started taking over those offensive play-calling duties. Chris Oladokun is going to be the starting quarterback today for the Chiefs at home. And, you know, obviously a really down season. You're not going to go to the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes isn't walking through that door until next year. And then you get the news that you're going to be losing your team in 2031. They're going to be moving to a different state out of Missouri into Kansas. It's just a really as down a year, I think, for that Arrowhead Stadium fan base that's going to be there today here, Jensen. Is there anything with that the team is like, man, the fans, what am I watching? This isn't the normal team I'm used to. And we're going to be losing this team in a number of years here. This has got to be like a double, triple whammy with the Mahomes injury, too.
All right. So I lived through Art Modell moving the Browns out of Cleveland under the cover of night. And so I can have a little bit of sympathy for where some of these Chiefs fans are. They're not losing their team so much in as it is moving to completely different surroundings, and they're no longer going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I would say that you get a spirited an effort tonight, not only from Chris Oladokun and company, because again, it's still an audition for these guys too. They want to prove that they're worthy, not only there, but also you got 31 other teams watching. I also feel there's something about the narrative of Travis Kelce. It's going to be an emotional night, final home game, potentially not only of his Kansas City Chief tenure, but potentially his NFL tenure. Is this the swan song for him? If so, why not play some Travis Kelce props tonight? If you have a backup quarterback, a third string quarterback, what's the safety net? Check out your tight ends, my friend. Yeah. And you got a Hall of Famer if you're Chris Oladokun right there to throw to all night long.
I'd say this too. You know, he came in after Gardner Minshew went down with his injury last week in Tennessee. And so, you know, it's Johnny on the spot. You got to go in. Now you get a full week of practice, or at least, you know, 3 days of practice. And you got real reps, NFL reps in that game against Tennessee. I would expect Oladokun to be serviceable, if we can put it at that. So I like where your head's at with some of those props, maybe for Kelce. And yes, that's always the security blanket there. And Andy Reid, I do think in the back of his mind, of course, he'd love to have his guys. He'd love to have Patrick Mahomes out there. But there is a new challenge that comes with that, with a guy like Oladokun now to say, let me show you guys why I'm Andy Reid, why I've won multiple Super Bowls, why I'm going to be a Hall of Fame head coach one day, because I have that offensive acumen. And I'm going to put that up against Sean Payton today. Yeah, there's still that professional pride that takes account. We're on the side of the Chiefs here. They're up to 14. So we didn't even get the best of the number at 13.5. You can get 14s out there as well. Christmas Day here for the NBA does take center stage, 5 games on the docket. It does feel like all of a sudden, you and I talked about it a little bit in the first hour of the program, we have a budding rivalry out west. It's probably really good for the league with San Antonio because they've beaten OKC a couple times here. It's going to be the trilogy already here, Jensen. Do you think that it's going to be Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the whatever? It's got to be some sort of revenge here in the brain here of OKC, doesn't it?
Oh my God, you went right where I was going. We've had A New Hope. We've had, The Empire Strikes Back. Yes, yeah. Today we have the NBA version of Return of the Jedi. And I cannot think that the Thunder don't want to impose their will, make the adjustments. Yes, will the Spurs be a thorn in their side? Maybe for the rest of the season, perhaps. But today, I laid the 9 last night. I love where it's at, already up to 10 at Circa today. Yes, I think SGA and company want to make it a very Merry Christmas, and they blow out the Spurs here this afternoon.
Yeah, I only saw the first 3 of the original Star Wars, which I absolutely love. Was the last one, The Empire Strikes Back? Was that the second one? I can't keep them all straight.
Return of the Jedi was the last of the original 3. You have 9 total, buddy. We got to get you caught up on Star Wars. You haven't seen a minute of Peaky Blinders yet, by order, and we're gonna have to get you lined up here, pal, before Tommy Shelby and company come back to the big screen. We need you.
Is James Earl Jones still Darth Vader, kids? I hope that's not a spoiler alert out here on Christmas Day. He was fantastic. As I'm on the leader. So 5 Christmas Day games that we're going to get to as well. We're going to get to our naughty and nice list, and then we're going to bet that bill. You're going to do that here a little bit later on, Jensen, here for the NBA?
Yes, and it is going to be an intriguing one, too. Might have some adjustments there, but hey, if it's the one day you want to jump in to the deep end of DFS, today is your day in the association.
I cannot wait to see, one, what Greg Hoops Peterson is wearing for this Christmas Day edition of VSiN by the Books, and 2, who he likes in the futures market here. Maybe a little Christmas gift that you can buy today and cash later. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Jensen's going to bet the build here on Christmas Day a little bit later on with our NBA 5 games on the docket today. Get it to our naughty and nice list that we have here on this Christmas Day. So who made those lists that Santa has created here? We always love catching up with Greg Hoops Peterson. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81, the host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. I don't know if he sleeps or if he takes a day off even on holiday from running. Kind enough to join us here in the Progressive Guest Line. And let's see that. What do you got there for your sweater today, for your Christmas sweater, for the people watching on FanDuel Sports Network?
It's a dinosaur that is dressed up like a Christmas tree, and it says Tree Rex on it.
Tree Rex. So that could be for Tree Rollins, for you old Atlanta Hawks fans out there. Yes. Back in the day. Fantastic get up there, Greg. We do appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us here on VSiN by the Books. We've been teasing all day that when you look in the futures market here, we've talked a little bit about this with you here in weeks past. Do you have enough data points now that you could look at some numbers and say maybe a team that's drifted a little bit? I'll get to one team in specifics that I think at the beginning of the year we had high hopes for, and so far not a great start. I'm looking right at Slicky Ricky there in Jamaica, Queens, in St. John's. Like, is that a team now that they've dipped in the marketplace enough that you could say, Greg, ooh, come March, you're probably getting a good number if you bet them today?
Or if you take a look at some of these teams that have had a nice start that have been overshadowed a little bit as well. Like, ooh, Vanderbilt has been very rock solid this year. I think that they've got a good chance to be able to win the SEC. And they're a team that you're still able to find quite a bit of value on. Like Louisville is another one of these teams I think is very interesting. They lose that game to Tennessee, but past that, they've been relatively solid as well. So, while I do think that you might be getting some good value on St. John's, what is being lost with Michigan, Iowa State, Duke, these teams having their really nice starts is other of these teams, they're playing really nice basketball. They're being lost in the shadow of that a little bit more. And I would say that like 7 through 15 range right now in the futures market, that's a juicy place where you're able to find that value.
All right, buddy. I took your advice. I bet my Vanderbilt Commodores at 40-1 when it was still there to win it all. We wake up today on Christmas morning, and I've already got some early Christmas CLV as Vandy down to 30-1. Hey, our friends at CBB Analytics do a great job of a lot of these advanced offensive rating, adjusted defensive rating statistics. Let me give you a couple of teams interested in your breakdown. We obviously know with Mr. Hurley and company there in UConn that they will be very formidable, not only in the Big East, but also in the NCAA tournament. Is Iowa State or BYU flying under the radar? Two teams that obviously have been ranked very high to start the year, looking like they could be some of those Elite Eight, Final Four candidates. Let me put those two teams out at you. And Greg, give me an idea where you stand with the Cyclones and the Cougars.
Right now, the team that I'm liking a little bit more is Iowa State. And BYU has been a nice surprise on defense as well, because when you think BYU, you think of a team that plays up tempo. You think of a team that's going to try to get to 100 points because you remember back to what they did last season. But they've actually slowed down their tempo a little bit more from a season ago. AJ DeBance has obviously been tremendous, but they've been able to do a great job with that regard. But I look at Iowa State a little bit more, because a lot of people are picking Arizona to be able to win the Big 12, but Iowa State, being lost at everything that Michigan has done, they went on the road about 2 weeks ago, and they handed Purdue the biggest loss ever at home for a number one ranked team overall. We were talking about St. John's just a minute ago. They knocked them off on a neutral court as well. This Iowa State team is looking really good, and they've played without Tamon Lipsby, their main point guard, for quite a bit of the season as well. That's why I feel like if you're looking at the futures market as well, I gave this out a little bit earlier on in the day yesterday, and I'll give it out here. Joshua Jefferson, right around about like 30-35-1 to win player of the year. He's a guy that intrigues me because he is ahead of the sake of that defense. He's a guy that's saying 6'8", he'll give you like 5 assists, multiple steals, 18 plus points per game. That Iowa State defense year in and year out is rock solid. One of the best teams in terms of generating turnovers in all of college basketball, which you really can't say the same for BYU. Iowa State is that team that really stands out to me, and I think that they're one of the most complete teams in all of college basketball, and they still have that very, very tough defense.
So you guys mentioned your Commodores, Jensen, down to 30-1, so you do have that good number there. St. John's, by the way, is up to 50-1 as they have drifted here in the national championship conversation. Greg, I'm a pretty even-keeled guy. Some people say I'm not very emotional. That's not true. When I watched Requiem for a League in the Big East, I cried because that was my childhood, watching the old Big East. Now when I watch this version of the Big East, I don't know what I'm watching. I see UConn is minus 250 to win this thing. Then the Johnnies at plus 320. And Villanova, that demarcation line, drops to 9-1. And then Creighton at 20-1. Is it really already, to you, separated that much in the Big East that it's only UConn and or the Johnnies and Villanova is already an extreme long shot? Is this just looking like a 2-3 bid league?
I wish I could disagree with the odds, but I really can't. I will say Seton Hall is a better team than what the odds are giving them credit for as well. Seton Hall takes that loss a few days ago against Villanova, but that's a team that's only taken 2 losses thus far this season. And I feel like Butler is a solid team as well. Can Seton Hall and Butler hang with either St. John's or UConn, though? I think the answer is very much no. And this shouldn't come as a lot of a surprise to a lot of people, because coming into the year, we did think that those were going to be the top two teams. I feel like the divide is even bigger than what we expected. And in a day and age where we're seeing a lot of, shall we say, tight-knit teams in these power conferences, like we were talking about Vanderbilt being able to win the SEC, and I fully believe that they have the chance to be able to do so, but that SEC is going to be a gauntlet this year. Whoever wins that conference, they're probably going to lose at the very minimum 3 games, maybe even 4-5. I even think with everything that we're seeing out of Michigan and the Big Ten, that they could lose like 3 games as well. Like when it comes to UConn versus St. John's, I feel like their only real possibility for losses is when they play against each other. And I think that UConn is quite a bit ahead of St. John's right now. So unfortunately, I think out of the power conferences right now, the most top heavy, and I don't think that's close, is the Big East.
All right, so we go from the Big East to the Big Ten here, Greg. I think a lot of people look at Michigan, even though they are not ranked number one currently, as potentially the best team in the land, even over number one Arizona at the moment. Let me give you some of the bystanders here, or maybe the best contenders in the Big Ten. Would you want to hitch your wagon to Michigan State, Purdue, or Illinois right now as that top team that could potentially unseat the Wolverines atop the Big Ten?
And I will not go with this team, but do not sleep on the Nebraska Cornhuskers, a team that is undefeated. Oh. You mentioned Illinois as being one of those teams. They just went on the road less than 2 weeks ago, knocked off that Illinois team as well. They're a team that you need to be taking a look at in the Big Ten, but I'm giving Michigan State. Give me the team with one of the best coaches in all of college basketball, Tom Izzo. A team that I know that they lost to Duke at home, but that game was a slog. And who wants to be facing off against this Michigan State team right now? We've seen them shut down some of the best offenses in all of college basketball. Arkansas and also Kentucky scored fewer than 70 points. Duke, who I just mentioned, that was a game where neither team got to 70 points as well. This is a team that's just like going to the dentist. You do not want to be facing off against Michigan State one bit. And it's not because you've got that one flashy score. Recognize that they've got a really good facilitator in Jeremy Fears, but right now their top scorer is Jackson Kaler. Like, how many times do you think a team that's ranked in like the top five, top six as their top scorer, Jackson Kaler? Not too often, but they just do a great job as a collective. Right now they're one of the top rebounding teams, one of the top defensive teams in all of college basketball. I think the most likely team to be able to unseat Michigan is right out there in their very own state, in Michigan State.
Greg, when I look at Gonzaga, I feel like every year we see them early, right, pre-conference, and they'll play a couple big boys here to kind of see where they are. And then they go away for a couple months, and they play in a conference outside of St. Mary's that nobody really respects. And then they resurface again in March, and we ask the same question. How good is Mark Few's team this year? 15-1 to cut down the nets at the end of it. What do you make of the Zags? Where are you on them? I know Arizona right now looks like the best team out west, at plus 850 here, but just overall in the region, do you put Gonzaga on that same level here with an Arizona once they get to March?
Right now they've got lesser pricing than Purdue, Houston, and I do think that they should be ahead of those teams. Now, they're obviously not on the same level of Michigan. We saw Michigan completely throttle them in lovely Las Vegas, but when you're looking at the futures market in college basketball, because it is so unpredictable, in any other sport, you could sort of roadmap, this team is going to play that team in a series or in the playoffs, whatever. You can't do that in college basketball. But the one thing that you can bank on for Gonzaga, they're going to be there in the second week. 9 out of the last 10 years, they have made it to the Sweet 16. So you can say what you want about them playing lesser competition. That lesser competition does not prevent them from getting to the second week in the NCAA tournament. I fully expect them to be there once again. I think that this is a very for real Gonzaga team. And other than that game against Michigan, they have shown nothing other than being a top 10 team in all of college basketball right now. So I do think that they're being slept upon a little bit.
Tree Rex, you're the best. Hoops, are you going to run today? You're going to take Christmas Day off?
Oh, of course. I get on my run every single day, Christmas or not.
He's an animal. Greg, you're the best. Merry Christmas. Everybody give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. Naughty or nice? The list is next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Christmas morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Merry Christmas to everybody watching and listening out there. Jens Lewis, Dave Ross here coming at you. Going to get to our naughty and nice list. And by the way, always nice to have Greg Peterson on. We really appreciate Hoops hopping on here in the last segment. If you have not downloaded, liked, and subscribed to our podcast here, VSiN by the Books, you can do so and listen to the show anytime you want, whether it's Christmas Day or the other, and go back and listen to that interview with the one and only Greg Hoops Peterson. Let's get to our, you want to start naughty or nice? You want to go nice to start off here on a Christmas Day, the teams and maybe personalities that made your list?
All right, I'll tell you what, I'll reverse it. We'll go naughty list and then we'll end nice. So my naughty list, and I went the futures market a little bit here. So this spans the calendar year. Dave, as a fellow or a former major league reliever, I was usually tasked as a fireman. I would come in and try and put out fires for either the starting pitcher or one of my fellow relievers. Now that we're on this side of things and I'm looking at managers in this day and age who take their starting pitchers out way too early, MLB managers are on my naughty list because it really affects the strikeout props and specifically the overs there. You know, I talk with you a lot about buying down. You might have to pay a little bit of juice to spit the hook, and they're a big reason why. MLB managers on the naughty list for pulling starters early. I also have to go Baker Mayfield. I can't win when I back him. I can't win when I fade him. It is just one of those things. Love you, Baker, but certainly against the number this year, forget it. I can't get it right. So those are my two on the naughty list. How about you?
First of all, I love the handwriting. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you have a really good penmanship for your naughty list. I'm very impressed with the graphics that we've created here on this Christmas day. Okay, with a caveat to start off my naughty list here, Jensen, I'm going to say that they still have a chance to get off the list. But as of right now, Dallas Cowboys, not my team, not your team, America's team, you're on the naughty list right now because I am in jeopardy of losing my first ever total on the Cowboys since I started joining VSiN almost 5 years ago now. And I am 3-0 on my win totals on this team. And because, you know, because I'm going to get the homer, right? Oh, you're home. Well, I'm 3-0. I don't want to go 3-1. I did not think that I was in jeopardy of not getting the over 7.5 when this team was 6-5-1 3 weeks ago, Jensen. But guess what? They haven't won a football game since the last holiday, Thanksgiving Day. It's now Christmas Day, and they have not won since I was home in Virginia Beach with my family watching on Thanksgiving Day. So, Dallas, you go right to the naughty list until you prove that you win the last two games. Then I can take you off and we get over the 7.5 win total. Well, we are hanging on by a thread, Jensen. I did not think this would be a sweat by the time we got to Christmas Day. We still haven't won a game since November. Come on, Dallas. Show some professional pride today against the boys from D.C. The other one is another. It's a salty subject for me. It's the Metropolitans. And, you know, 2 years ago, Jensen, we have the great run all the way to the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers. And what's the refrain, right? Next year. We'll get them next year. Well, the next year turned into this year, and this year was a disaster. So coal in the stockings for Steve Cohen, not our Steve Cohen here at VSiN. Uncle Steve with the Metropolitans, because now he's getting a little testy on X and kind of this white knight that came in on the stallion to save the franchise. He's finding out what it's like to be a Mets owner. It's not that easy. So what have we done since next year became this year? And then what does next year now look like? It's going to look really different without Pete Alonso in the middle of the lineup. Brandon Nimmo, he's off to Texas. Jeff McNeil, the squirrel, is going to be flying in Sacramento. And oh yeah, some guy named Edwin Sugar Diaz, he's closing for the Dodgers. So I don't have a whole lot of hope for this year, Jensen. And that's why sometimes the sand in the hourglass as a professional franchise, that doesn't stay open very long and it starts to seep out and starting to go in the wrong direction. Cowboys, Mets, you're on the naughty list.
How about you? Going against the dyed in the wool. It is, again, a chance to get off the naughty list here if they do some things right. All right. My nice list, two futures that I hit this year. Actually, one future I hit and one parlay that, thank God, for overtime in Thursday Night Football on week 16. If you remember, I was talking about it. OptAI was giving us some really high pass yard props for Sam Darnold and Matthew Stafford when it was the game of the year, Rams and Seahawks. And Dave, we needed every bit of overtime for Sam Darnold to get to that 270 pass yards or more prop. He hits it on the number in that final drive before they hit the 2-point conversion. So that pad, that 4-yard TD pass to Jaxon Smith-Njigba ends up getting on the number, Very nice. Very nice, Sam Darnold. Well done. You're on the nice list. And then I grabbed the Gators this past year Middle of the season, beautiful. At 13-1. You know, just one of those situations, and we'll do it again for people that have just become fans of By the Books. Welcome on. Plenty of room here on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it again is one of those great operations. We do it in the NBA. We do it in college basketball, where you're looking for value. You're looking for monetization opportunities. And it just felt that when Florida got to the end of the conference schedule and into the SEC tournament and beyond, it was like, okay, this team is legit. They can really be a force to be reckoned with. So got them at double digits. I know that Florida is certainly on the nice list of one Mitch Moss, who had that amazing prop in the Circa contest as well with Derek Stevens and Mike Palm and company. So the Florida Gators, they make it a nice double-digit future coming home as the reigning national champions in men's basketball.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You and I, our first iteration together, going through March Madness last year. And props to you for hopping on what was still a really good number at 13-1 to get that home with the Gators. Like, I know sometimes, and I fall victim to this, Jensen, sometimes I go, man, I could have got this number at like, that's still a really good number to play there, double digits at 13-1. Sometimes you have to identify that if there's still value, even if it's not the max value you could have had at the beginning of a season. Always maximum value here with our friends at Omaha Steaks, because football meets flavor today, certainly, with our Christmas Day 3 games. VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, how about this? 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. From legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes game day easy and delicious. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See the site for details. I know my parents are watching that back home in Virginia Beach, and they love their chicken wings. That's when we lived in upstate New York in our Buffalo Bills days. Always loved to do a little tailgating. Do that with our friends over there at Omaha Steaks. Those chicken wings look fantastic. For my nice list, Jensen, I've got a couple that I wanted to give out here today as well. And one of them I don't think is going to be a big surprise to you, and it's going to be the Seattle Seahawks. And you mentioned Sam Darnold getting you one on the number here against the Rams in that wild comeback a couple Thursday nights ago here. The Seahawks have been so nice to me because the Cowboys on the naughty list, right? Detroit might end up on the naughty list too if they can't get me 2 more wins at the end of the regular year. But Seattle, you've done all the work for me. You made a lot of this house money for me, because my biggest play, as we talked about all summer, was Seattle at plus money at 8.5 wins at plus $1.20. And then the adjusted win total at 9.5 at plus +210. And we've cashed those weeks ago. It's beautiful. Now, could I get a little greedy, plus +679 to win the West? That would be nice. That would be even nicer on the nice list here for Sam Darnold and company. But this was a play on Sam. Regular season Sam, I think, is really good. I think Mike McDonald is a really good head coach. I really believe in this defense, and I don't think this team's going to go away like they did maybe last year with the iteration of Sam Darnold in Minnesota. It might be a better version here of Seattle 2.0. My other nice list, and what a ride it was. It was the Toronto Blue Jays. And again, with Mike Palm and Derek Stevens, and I know Jonathan Von Tobel's got a ticket right now on the Chicago Bears, a similar one. He's got 60-1. I had 30-1 on Toronto on a free roll to win the World Series. And Jensen, people are going to be going, wait a minute. And well, they didn't win. How are they on the nice list? They were 2 outs away from winning the World Series. Why would you put them there? Because when George Springer hit that home run against Seattle to just get into the World Series, it enabled me to monetize the ticket. And I did that. And Jensen, you and I talk about it all the time. And you're going to have some positions possibly with the Bears at 60-1 to win the NFC that you could be able to monetize those tickets. Sometimes it's not necessarily about getting all the way to the finish line. It would have been amazing had they gotten there for me. It would have been a much even bigger payday. But Jensen, sometimes having those tickets and realizing I need to monetize this thing for all the work and the effort that you've put in to get to that point as a better. Sometimes you don't want to come away with nothing. And certainly with the Blue Jays, tip my cap to you. I was able to do that because of their historic run.
So good, buddy. We are just weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. It's going to be here before you know
Let's go.
Can't wait.
I can't wait to see those futures markets, see what tickets we put in February. It's going to be so much fun. We got big 5 games here in the NBA today, Jensen. When we come back, you're going to bet that bill for the people out there, see if we can make some money for you on those daily fantasy lineups. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Christmas Day edition. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We, of course, have three NFL games that take center stage today. But the NBA, I will be curious because we talked about it earlier in the week, right? These are kind of down games, if you will, for the NFL. It's still the NFL. We know what sport is king in this country. But the NBA has a shot with five games on the docket today. And you do have some high-profile matchups, right? When you get like now, for people in the weeds, OKC and San Antonio, that's a big-time matchup. Now, maybe for the casuals out there, yes, oh, OKC's the champs. Who's this Wemby guy? I heard about him. They're going to start knowing more and more about San Antonio here, Jensen. Well, what do you make of the slate and what Adam Silver and the commissioner has done to try to make those inroads? This used to be their day. And then the NFL said, we'll take whatever we want and we'll put three games on Christmas Day if we want. And we'll see what the ratings look like. Do you think the NBA is going to be able to put up a fight today?
Okay, so let me give you the first litmus test. College football playoff, all right, this past weekend. When you had Ole Miss and Tulane up against the NFL, and then you had Oregon JMU up against arguably the second best game of the year, Packers and Bears, it wasn't even close. College football playoff wasn't even close. The NFL doubled the number. That's college football playoff, which you put college football playoff up against the NBA, probably the same numbers, right? Double. College football playoff would double the NBA. So we shall see. As it pertains to today, as we talked with Zachary Cohen yesterday, one of our great colleagues here at VSiN does a fabulous job. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, today is really a fabulous day to jump on. Great write-ups by our entire crew. Our basketball guys do a fabulous job, and they really help us really start to get into the groove. And today is kind of that first day of school, if you will. So the DFS side for you daily fantasy players out there, let's start on the FanDuel side. And for those that haven't played yet, FanDuel lineups, as far as their roster construction, Dave, are different than DraftKings. On FanDuel, you pick 2 point guards, 2 shooting guards, 2 small forwards, 2 power forwards, and a center. On the DraftKings side, you do one of each, and then you have just a general guard, forward, and utility slot. So that's where the differences are, and that's why it got me to different builds as such. Let's start on the FanDuel side. Talk with Zachary Cohen yesterday. I bring him up because, remember, he told us, if you want to bet some player props, hop on the overs for Jalen Brunson. He has been on an absolute heater. He routinely destroys my Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know what it is about the wine and gold, but he just does it. So Jalen Brunson, an easy one to get to start that build. Ryan Nemhard of the Dallas Mavericks. You're going to see a lot of Dallas guys for me today, Dave, because I am on a couple of actual bets in that game against the Golden State Warriors. So I'll bring those up here in a moment. As you look through the rest, a couple of names that are going to jump out to you. Cooper Flagg as well of the Dallas Mavericks. Great little value play, even for the salary. Alperen Şengün, and it's a tough matchup for him with the Rockets and the Lakers today. That's going to be a good matchup in and of itself. Remember, the Lakers, a short dog at home right now. Monitor the injury designation here for PJ Washington, also of the Mavericks, Dave. He's been listed as questionable. So again, have a little pivot point there if you are looking, because remember, Dallas and Golden State are later on this afternoon Eastern time with a couple of games in front of them with the Knicks and the Cavaliers, as well as the Spurs and the Thunder. Mavs and Warriors goes off. That's the middle game of the 5-game slate. It goes off at 5 p.m. Eastern. So that is the FanDuel build. Here's how we did the DraftKings build. We went back to a couple of usual suspects. We do have Nemhard and PJ Washington in there. I did get to Nikola Jokic in there. Just set it and forget it. It's been a guy that just is so incredible from the daily fantasy perspective. So much usage. We got back to Cooper Flagg. Tari Eason is a guy there for the Rockets that I think is a great value selection for the price. He's going to allow you to get some other big guys in there. And the rarely seen highly effective going with 2 centers. I got Rudy Gobert in there because the last 3 to 4 games, he has been ridiculously good. So I think that in and of itself, trying to zig where others may zag, having a lot of the stars here because it is Christmas Day, just trying to differentiate a little bit, Dave. That's how we got to our FanDuel and our DraftKings Bet the Build here on Christmas Day.
We've talked a lot about Cooper Flagg at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, you could have looked at some other guys. Maybe it's a Derek Queen at 13-1, now Con Knipple at plus 240. Vijay Edgecombe, a great start he had with Philadelphia. He's 30-1 now to win Rookie of the Year. I bring that up because Cooper Flagg is now minus 260 to win the award. Jensen, if he stays injury free, and that kind of feels like the caveat, right? And it's a long season. So is that a playable number for you, or is that out of whack now with what Cooper's done? Because I feel like he stays healthy. I don't know that Con or Derek or anybody else can really run him down.
So I would look at on FanDuel, Dave, you can parlay the awards markets. So
okay,
if you want, I would take Cooper Flagg. And then remember, Zachary Cohen yesterday also talked to us about the MVP market basically being down right now to Jokic, to SGA. If you think Luka can get in there too and really be a viable guy, and I personally think he can. I wrote him up in our NBA betting guide before the season to lead the league in scoring. And I think if he continues this way, he's going to be in the conversation. It's crazy that you can't even get anyone from the Eastern Conference into the top three to talk about just because of how dominant the West is. So to answer your question, roundabout, to me, it would be not a playable number by itself. I would parlay Cooper Flagg in the awards market on FanDuel with one of my favorites, if you will, of where we are in the MVP as well.
To quote Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own, that's good advice. It really is good advice. Let's give out some prop recommendations that you have today here, Jensen, on the docket. What do you like? I maybe start off with the Cleveland Cavalier.
Yeah. So again, when you're looking through these games, just because it's Christmas doesn't mean that it's just set it and forget it. Traditionally, we see a lot of overs, Dave, in totals. There may be a handful, and I did get to one under already in one of these games. So you mentioned the Cavs. This number was 7.5 to start. It's down to 5.5. And I do think we see some fight from my boys in the Wine and Gold. I do like DeAndre Hunter over 3.5 rebounds. A juicy price. Best price I found was on BetMGM at $1.45. I mentioned Tari Eason also as well for the Rockets. I like him over his 3.5 rebounds. Again, juicy at $1.53 on DraftKings. Let me take you to the Lakers and the Rockets game. Again, mentioned Tari Eason. Let me go with two Laker guys in unders. I think Luka does more of the scoring tonight than he does the facilitating. So I like his under 16.5 rebounds and assist number. You can find that on DraftKings. I think the best price I found was $1.26 there. Also staying with the under theme, I like Austin Reeves under 3.5 assists. That's plus money. That's plus $1.18 on DraftKings. Again, will he get enough run there and in situations where he can hit that with the amount of minutes? I'm not sure it gets there, so I like the value at a plus price. I also got two plays in pocket for that Mavericks and that Warriors game. I think the number is too high for the Warriors laying it. We talked a lot with JVT about the age of the Warriors roster. And we're starting to get, you know, month and change, 2 months into a regular season in which they may be getting longer in the tooth, if you will, earlier than expected. Mention a lot of the Dallas Mavericks guys we haven't bet the build. I like them plus the 8.5. And I also like the under 229.5. It's already down to 228.5 at Circa. That's one of the lone unders I'll probably play in the association day because, Dave, traditionally, it's a lot of overs. It's a lot of scoring on Christmas Day here. A lot of guys want to show out. And I think that's just one there where I think it's way too many points for the Warriors to be laying at home.
You know, mentioning this Warriors sitting there at 500 here to begin their campaign. And again, 8.5-point favorites today against Dallas. When you see the infighting, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I'm sure you have it at some way, shape, or form in your professional career. When you see it play out like that with Draymond and Steve Kerr, and then Draymond basically saying, you know, like he knew it was the best to get away. Like Steve Kerr was hot, right? Is that a problem? Does that linger over, or is that just competitive juices that boil over for the world to see? And these two guys have so much water under the bridge that they should be okay again today.
Something to monitor, right? Hey, you could be getting to your wit's end of some of these things. Yes. Have I seen it firsthand in locker rooms? Yeah. And traditionally, that clock ticks a lot faster as far as we're going to be making a change here sometime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when you're winning championships. And then when you're not, sometimes you go, why am I putting up with this? So we'll find out if that lingers between head coach and, perennial defensive player of the year candidate in Draymond Green. All right, when we come back, we're going to get to what must goes up must come down. That'd be stock up and stock down. And the Daily Gridiron with three NFL games on the docket. It's a Christmas Day edition of VSiN by the Books.